'Cause I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. Storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. Sometimes the way seems bleak, 'cause we are human and we are weak. But take it from me, when the road seems rough, He is there to pick you up. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, 'cause I stand upon the rock. He is the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. Storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, 'cause I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. Storm around me rages, I stand.
Thank you, ladies. God bless you for the song. And aren't you glad you're standing on a solid rock? Aren't you glad that we stand on a God that has an eternal salvation? We don't have to be worrying about whether we're going to be saved or not be saved. Listen, when God said it, that settled it. It's over. Thank God I got in on that eternal life. And boy, I tell you, I've told you many times, church, when I found out that you could be saved forever, I went crazy. Because I was raised in a religion that it never taught you that you could ever know that you've been saved. Man, I went nuts. And I'm glad I'm still a little bit on the nuts side. And listen, I think all of God's people have a degree of nuttiness to them. Didn't it say we're peculiar people, right? All right, so there's something odd and strange about us. But I think it has to do with salvation. I think it has to do with just, listen, God's people ought to act happy, ought to act joyful. In our world today, you know what that is? That's strange. That's weird if you go around acting happy or whistling or singing and people look at you like, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? Don't you realize we live in terrible times financially and socially and morally? Yeah, but we still stand on a firm foundation. That's what you have to keep your eyes focused on, not just the circumstances. Well, church, let's finish our studies tonight in our subject that we've been talking about together for the last 3 weeks. Glory is Christ. Remember, Paul said, for to me to live. It may not be for everybody, but he says, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I want you to take your Bible and join me tonight in Psalm 29, and then we're going to go back and read the first four verses again of John chapter number 17. Glory is Christ. Church, there's one reason that you and I exist. Yes, it is to win people to Christ. Yes, it is to be a testimony. But the ultimate thing that Jesus said was His whole purpose. Yes, it was His purpose was to purchase salvation for the sins and cover the sins of all mankind. But His number one purpose was to glorify the Father. That was His number one purpose and goal on this earth. Would you stand with me together tonight? Psalm chapter 29, and we're going to read the first two verses of Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. It doesn't sound like a suggestion to me, does it to you? It almost sounds like we're being told to do this, that God deserves glory. And then I want you to listen to verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, church, the last few weeks we've talked about our journey, haven't we? And the reason that most Christians don't want to take this journey to holiness is because there are a lot of things that are involved with it. There are a lot of things that are on this road that leads us, remember now, to a position that we are commanded to occupy in the absence of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to John 17 and let's read again what Jesus said beginning in verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. That kind of gives us some idea of what Jesus' purpose and intent was. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Now notice verse number 4. This has kind of been our text verse now for the last 3 weeks. Jesus said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. Now stop. Again, let's remind ourselves. Did you notice He said, I'm not continuing to glory. He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. That word glorified there is in the past tense. He said, listen, I'm fixing to vacate the premises. I'm fixing to leave this earth and ascend back to the right hand of the Father. He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. Could everybody say amen right there that Jesus glorified the Father in every aspect and every way? And listen to what He says. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, He hadn't gone to the cross yet. But the work that was coming to fruition, the work that was coming to completion, was not just the crucifixion. The work of glorifying the Father was about to come to a conclusion in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And now, who's going to pick the mantle up on this earth? Who's going to take and glorify the Father on this earth? Remember, we learned that in the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Listen now, in earth as it is in heaven. Stop. What's going on in heaven, do you think, right now? Think there might be a little glorifying the Lord going on? You think there might be a little glorifying the Father? I know there is, because John the Revelator said that around the heaven, the seraphims and the cherubims are shouting, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. People ask me often, they say, Preacher, what are we going to be doing when we get to heaven? I think it has something to do with glorifying the Father. And so I want to continue and finish up tonight in this area of our subject, glory is Christ, and then I want to speak specifically on the position of holiness tonight. Now, Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to serve a living Savior. We're so grateful, Father, that we have the privilege to bring honor and glory with our lives. I realize it's a choice of every person whether or not they're going to bring glory to the Father. And I realize, Lord, You're not going to twist anybody's arm. You're not going to make anybody give You glory. It's something that You want by choice. It's something that You want by our decisions. It's something that You desire, You crave for, You long for from us. in our return of thanksgiving unto thee. Now, Father, would you teach us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit tonight. Would you open our spirit now that we might learn and that we might fulfill the position in which you vacated for us, and that's that position of holiness, therefore to glorify the Father. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you for what will be accomplished tonight in these services. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, church, let me remind you that we are in a journey. So for those of you that maybe have missed one or two of the messages on Sunday night, let me remind you of our journey and how we're getting to that position. Let me take my guys once again. Who's righteousness? Come on, righteousness. Who's godliness? Now, these guys, listen, these guys do not depict, all right? I'm just saying, I'm just using them as an instrument. God, who's holiness? And who's glory? All right. Stand right here. Come on up. Holiness and glory, you're over here. All right? All right, y'all come up, step up just a little bit so I can kind of get behind you. Now, church, let me give you just a quick quiz on what we've learned so far. Now, we understand that Jesus Christ has vacated a position. He said, I have glorified the Father on the earth. He said, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do, which means that Jesus is leaving. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus is about to vacate a position on this earth that somebody's going to have to fill. So when he gathers his disciples and he's about to ascend back into heaven, he tells them, now listen, remember what was on their mind? What was still on their mind? When's the kingdom coming? When are you going to set up the earthly kingdom? That's all they could think about. And he said, there's not the season or the time for you to know. He said, it'll happen when the Father says it'll happen. He said, but I've got a job for you. And Jesus now was about to leave the mantle of glorifying the Father behind. And these disciples, these followers now would choose whether or not they would pick the mantle up and follow through with that vacated position that Jesus left on this earth. Now, our journey to that position of holiness, which we'll talk about tonight, started 2 weeks ago, right back over here, with righteousness. Now, remember that righteousness, remember what it is? Righteousness is the attitude. It is the spirit. It's the decision that every born-again believer is going to have to make to choose to allow this Bible that we hold in our hands to govern our lives. Do you believe the Word of God is the final authority of all practices of faith in the Christian life? Amen. If you do, then you're well on your way to fulfilling the position that Jesus vacated in glorifying the Father. Righteousness is, listen now, it's knowing the principles, the precepts, the statutes, the commands of the Bible, and making a willful decision that I'm going to let this book govern my decisions. I'm going to let this book govern everything I do in my life. You ever wonder why churches are empty so much these days? Because so many of God's people have not chosen to allow this book to govern their lives. Have you ever wondered, where are people when they're not in church? Where are they? What are they doing? I tell you one thing, I would feel so awkward if I knew that I had the chance to be in church. If I wasn't sick or at work or something like that, and I needed to be in church and should be in church and wasn't there, I'd feel so awkward, wouldn't you? Now, all I'm saying to you tonight is that righteousness is that willful choice to let the Word of God dictate my life and let it be the final authority. Now, folks, listen, you know what? When the Bible becomes your final authority, when God says it, you just do it and that's it. You say, well, I need to understand it. Listen to me, folks. I learned a long time ago, you're not going to figure God out. So stop trying to figure God out and just do what He says. Many of you folks, when you were children, listen, mom and dad, I lived in a day and time where my parents, they didn't believe in telling you twice. They told you one time, and if you didn't do it, after that, the judgment. It's just the way it was. And that's the reason I'm so messed up and warped today, because my parents actually believed in corporal punishment. They just told you one time. You didn't do it, boom, the judgment. Now, what I'm saying to you is, folks, do we believe this is the final authority or not? If it is the final authority, righteousness is, the root word of righteousness is right. It's making the decision to do right. Is the Bible right? Yeah, it's right in every point. It's right in everything, morally, socially, economically, financially, spiritually. It's right in every aspect. Righteousness is just simply making the decision. It's the attitude, I will claim the Word of God as my final authority. Now, what we studied last week was the area of godliness. Now, godliness is that outward manifestation of our righteous attitude. Remember, we touched on a bunch of subjects last week about godliness is the external portion. Now, remember, we're supposed to renew the inward man day by day, right? But remember, the Scripture teaches us that we are to work, come on, help me out, work out our own salvation. You see, we're to be a testimony, not just inwardly, but we're to be a testimony and an example, come on, church, help me now, outwardly as well. So let me ask you this. Does it matter what music you listen to? Yes, it does. Does it matter the people you hang around with? Yes, it does. Does it matter the places that you go? Yes, it does. Oh, listen to me. Does it matter how you dress the temple? Oh, well, that's a touchy subject, isn't it? But the thing about it does matter, folks. God would not put a standard of dress for a man and a woman in the Bible if it wasn't important. It is important. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, that we're to glorify God not only in our body, but in our spirit as well. So we're to glorify Him inwardly and outwardly. Godliness is that external manifestation of our internal decision that we've made that the Bible is going to be the final authority. Listen to me. You will never ever succeed in living a godly life until you first make the righteous decision that that book's true. You'll never reach it. That's the reason when the preacher gets up and he stands on the pulpit and screams, his eyes come out, fire comes out of his mouth, and he says, this is what the Bible says, bless God. We're saying, he's just loud. Listen now. Well, that's just his opinion. Oh, that's just his interpretation. Okay? Now, I've just decided the book's the final authority. And since it's the final authority, it's a righteousness issue. And once you settle the righteousness issue, then guess what? You can step right into the godliness issue. Because, what God says, the outward presentation of ministry is important. Not just the inward presentation of ministry. All right, guys, you two guys can have a seat. Now, step right over here just a minute. Holiness. All right. Holiness, and I want to follow me in here, church. Holiness is the marriage. It's the offspring of the marriage between righteousness and godliness. You cannot fulfill the position of holiness unless you first fulfill the position of righteousness, the book's the final authority, and godliness, which you exemplify outwardly, you manifest outwardly your Christianity. Listen now, because we're going to learn tonight that holiness is the motive of why you serve God. And listen, righteousness is the spirit. It's the attitude. Godliness is the outward manifestation of that attitude. Listen now, but holiness is the motive behind the attitude. And holiness is what position that God says we're to occupy if we're going to give Him glory. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus fulfill the position of holiness? That's the reason He could say, I have glorified the Father on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And holiness tonight, church, we're going to learn is very, very important. 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you know that phrase is mentioned 7 times? Now, there's offshoots of it, but that particular phrase, I believe, is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. Now, if something's mentioned once, it's important. If it's mentioned twice, we probably need to pay attention. But if it's mentioned 7 times, would you think that God's trying to indicate something of importance to us? That God's trying to get across a point to us that not only our temple, our body is holy, not only were we holy unto Him as a Christian, but listen, there's something greater than our cause, and it's the cause of glorifying the Father. Righteousness is the attitude. Godliness is the manifestation of the attitude. Holiness is the motive behind the attitude. All right, guys, y'all can have a seat. Now, church, let's get to work tonight and let's finish this up. First of all, let me say holiness of the believer seems to be God's final destination of maturity, or what we would like to say in the Bible, of perfection within a believer's earthly life. Let me say, for those of you that are new to the Bible, perfection does not mean sinlessness. Perfection means maturity. The maturity of the Christian life is holiness. Now listen, most of God's people do not live here. Amen, preacher. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, most of God's people don't live here. So therefore, we are not giving the glory that God deserves. And yet, Psalm 29, we're supposed to give God the glory due His name. He's not only should get glory because of who He is, He should get glory because of what He is, what He does, and how He does it. And yet most of God's people do not live in this position. Most of God's people are somewhere, listen now, between righteousness and godliness. It's not that most of God's people don't want to do right. It's just that once they say, well, okay, listen, if I went around with a microphone to every person, almost 100%, probably 100%, and say, oh yeah, the book. You betcha. Yeah, the book's the word. Do you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe it. Do you believe every word of the Bible? Yes, I believe it. Do you obey the Bible? Oh yes, preacher, I obey the Bible. Well, let's be honest. We obey the part that we want to obey. We're selective Christians. We obey what we want to obey. By the way, most of the places in the Bible that we obey them if it fits our lifestyle. By the way, we've bought into this idea that most of Christianity, that God doesn't care about what music we listen to or what lifestyle we live or who we hang around with or this or that or other things. God really doesn't care whether we worship Him. Folks, what Bible are you reading? He does care. Holiness does mean something to Him. Listen, it's the position that Jesus vacated. He vacated the position of holiness because that is the extreme position to bring glory to the Father, which is due His name. Now, be holy, for I am holy. That's a pretty direct statement. Now, the word holiness means consecration to that which is sacred. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that are sacred in the Bible. There's a lot of sacred things. We don't have time to get into them. But it's consecration. It's dedication to that which is sacred. Holiness, church, is when the heart is conformed to the image of Christ. Listen now. And the life is regulated by the divine precepts of Scripture. You say, interpret, please. It means holiness. Once you reach that place, you can not only glorify God as He deserves and do His name, but holiness is that position that creates the motive of why you do everything that you do. It's the motive of why we serve the Lord. You see, church, holiness is a position which is wholly dedicated to the motive of glorifying the Father. Now, jot down a couple of things here and I'm going to move on. Righteousness is our commitment to Christ. Okay? We've already talked about that. Righteousness is the commitment. That's the part. The Word is the final authority. Number two, godliness is the consecration for Christ. Okay, godliness is in the position where, all right, if God says this is the way I'm supposed to look, this is the kind of people I'm supposed to hang around with, this is when I'm supposed to go to church, this is what I'm supposed to do, this, that. Godliness is that exterior manifestation of the interior decision and attitude. So godliness is our consecration for Christ, and now we're going to learn tonight that holiness is our character in Christ. It's the character in Christ. And church, I want to say something again here, and I say this often. Sometimes I get rebuked. That's okay. It won't be the first time. Do you know, around planet Earth, I believe there are a lot of believers. There are a lot of people that have been born into the family of God. Millions of people. But I'm sad to tell you, not many Christians, though. You hear what I said? I said, there's a lot of believers, but there's not many Christians. Now, I'm going to say something tonight. It's going to be pretty pointed, but I want you to follow me. Christianity is holiness. That's what it is. Christianity is not just the decision about the Word of God, the outward manifestation, but Christianity is a motive, folks. It's a desire. It's a motive. And that one motive is to glorify the Father. And most believers never in their life ever experience holiness in their life. Therefore, they bring little glory to the Lord. As I mentioned to you this morning, there's going to be a lot of things that we think are important on this earth when we get to heaven, and God's going to say, man, what in the world were you thinking? He said, you know, did you not read the Bible? Yes, Lord, I read the Bible. Then what'd you miss? How could you miss that the number one purpose was to glorify me? Now remember, Jesus taught his disciples how to glorify the Father. There were certain things they could do and things that he taught them about how to glorify the Father. But righteousness is the commitment. Godliness is the consecration. Holiness is the character. Now church, these three elements that we've looked at here will lead us to the desired position, to the desired place to glorify the Father. I just want to ask you, how much glory is God getting from your life? Now let me ask you this. Do you even know what glory is? Do you even know what the word glory means? What is God saying when it says glorify the Father? That word glory means honorable representation. God is saying, I just want some people on the earth to give me honor in representing who I am, what I am, how I do it. He's looking for people of voice on this earth. Hey, the scripture talks about when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find anybody that's decided, I'm sticking with the position. I'm taking the mantle up that Jesus left, and I'm going to glorify the Father on the earth. Hey, let me tell you something tonight, church. God's getting the deserved glory in heaven. My question is he getting what he deserves on earth, though? Is he getting what he deserves from us? I'm here to say that in too many people's lives that call themselves believers, the answer is no, he is not getting the glory that he deserves. But you know what people, a lot of times when they look at holiness, they think it means that it has some connotation with sinless perfection. They think, well, I can't be holy over here because, preacher, I just can't be right all the time. I can't make every decision right. Well, holiness, listen to me, church, does not demand sinlessness or perfection. It just demands submission. That's what it is. Holiness is just saying the book's right, the Christian life is right, and now my motive is to glorify the Father, and I'm sticking with the Christian life. That's what the Christian life is. It is holiness. Now, how many people do you know that are living the Christian life? Say, we're getting personal. Yeah, it's all right. How many people, I'm just asking, how many people do you think are living the Christian life? How many people do you know in your circle of friends that you think are living in the position of holiness and bringing due glory to the name of the Father? But you can't count them on one hand. Now listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you, folks, we got to wake up. We got a God in heaven that demands glory. And most of us, we're not doing it. From the pulpit to the pew, we're not giving him what he deserves in this area of glorifying the Father. You see, holiness is a position occupied by the believer who knows and has his total reliance on God. Remember I told you that holiness does not demand perfection, but holiness demands submission. You know, the sad thing is we do too much. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said we do too much. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Do too much. Yeah, our church is too busy. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is we do too much of the things that God wants to do through us. That's the reason he says, look, okay, if you want to do it, go ahead. And you know what he'll do? He will let you do it. But I've learned the hard way, folks. You're going to mess it up. It's best to just submit to the Lord and let God do whatever he desires through you, because holiness is submission. Now, holiness, church, is not just for those in the ministry. Amen, preacher. Holiness is a call for every born-again believer. And I'm going to say this, and you need to listen. And it is obtainable. It is an obtainable lifestyle. It is an obtainable position. By the way, if it was not obtainable, why would God tell us to be that? Why would He say, be in this position that you might bring the extreme glory that I deserve? Why would He tell me to reach that position and tell me how to get there through righteousness, godliness, to reach that position of holiness, to bring honor and glory to Him? Why would He tell me to do it if it was not obtainable? It is obtainable. You see, holiness, not just for preachers, it's not just for people in full-time ministry, it's for every born-again believer. And I want to show you something real quick. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for just a moment. You ever heard this phrase, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might? That phrase, or a type of that phrase, is used 13 different times, and about 10 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New Testament. Again, if it's mentioned once, we ought to pay attention, right? If it's mentioned 13 times, something's up. That means we need to focus in on it. We need to get a clear understanding of what God wants from us. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you to begin reading and follow along with me, if you would, in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. The scripture says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Wow, it sounds like righteousness, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody's got to make a decision about these things, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments. Boy, He's stuck on that, right? He's mentioned that twice. Which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Stop. That's important. We'll come back to that in just a minute. That sounds like there has to be a decision made, right? All right. And thou shalt, look at this now. It goes further. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Church, stop. Look up here just a minute. This thing of holiness is not just for you personally. It's for you to teach your children how to be this way. It's for you to teach and instruct your children how to take the journey of righteousness, godliness, to fulfill the position in which Jesus Christ has created them to bring glory to the Father. We're to teach our children to be holy. We're to teach our children that this is the acceptable position that God has for us. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 5, and I want you to look at a couple of things if we could. I want you to notice how that we're to show love to the Father. Now notice He says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now we're for that, right? Yes, yes, I love God. But did you notice He said in three areas? And the amazing thing is, I think, looking at this, these three areas match up with righteousness, godliness, and holiness. Look what He said. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Guess where you make your decisions from? Guess where you make your choices from? It's the area of your heart. It's the attitude. It's the spirit. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy spirit, with all the attitude. In order for us to do that, it's got to be a complete dedication and commitment to the book. So He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That matches up with the righteousness aspect. And then He says, and with all thy soul. There's the godliness. There's the participation. That's my life for Christ. That's my promotion of the person and the plan and the purpose and the people and the place of God. Listen, this is where I embrace the Word. The Word, literally, I put skin on the Bible. This is my part. This is the area of godliness. So he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the righteousness. With all thy soul. That's the outward manifestation of our inward attitude. And then he says, and with all thy might. There's the motive. How hard are you serving God? How hard are you working at fulfilling this position? Wait a minute. And not just getting there and bouncing off. You ever known people that get there and then they bounce off of it? And then they come back? God says, I want you to get to this position and I want you to stay in this position. I want you to get there and stay there for the rest of your life. Does this help you now, church, to kind of understand our position that God desires us to occupy? Does this kind of help you to understand now and make sense when God calls us ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20, or a holy priesthood in 1 Peter 2:5, listen now, or a peculiar people twice. Titus 2:14, 1 Peter 2:9. Hey, it's all about getting glory from our lives. Listen now, in the midst of a wicked and perverse world. Because let me tell you something. Everybody looking up here? Let me tell you something. You got to want to be holy. I mean, you gotta want to occupy this position. And can I say that if you want to occupy this position, there's a road to it. There's heartaches to get here. There's difficulties to get here. But let me tell you something. Once you get here and you stay in that position, it is glory on earth. It is incredible on earth. Too many God's people don't think that they can acquire that. And that's what I want to help you with for just a few moments that we have, and we'll finish this up tonight. Let me say a few things. First of all, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. I want to say first of all tonight that holiness is being consistent. Holiness is being consistent. It means unchanging in purpose. It means unchanging in motive. It means that there's nothing is going to rock you off that spot. It doesn't matter what doctrine comes. It doesn't matter what opposition comes. Nothing is going to move you from this spot. And so holiness is consistent. Let me read you a few verses here out of the New Testament, and let's take a look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 24. Notice here it says, I tell you, look in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. That's the life, that's the consistent part. The new man, notice now, which after God is created in. Does your Bible say righteousness? Okay. Before, as a lost man, I didn't have the ability to make a decision about this book being the final authority. Matter of fact, I didn't care about the book. And by the way, neither did you. You didn't care about any of this, and you didn't care about righteousness, godliness, or holiness as a lost person. Who did you care about as a lost person? You. Me, myself, and I, right? That's who we cared about. We weren't concerned about the book, but he says, but if you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, oh look now, and true, what? Holiness. It's the new man. It's the consistency. It's the will and desire that this is the book. I'm going to live by the book, and my motive is to glorify the Father. And listen, I'm going to stick with the plan. Holiness is consistent and being consistent. Now go to Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans 6. Quickly, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6 and verse number 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Stop. We've learned that we've seen this phrase before. You've obeyed from the heart, which means you had a change of attitude, right? A change of spirit. So you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, the new man, okay, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness. Now look at this now. Yield yourselves, your members, servants to righteousness. Now look at the next word. Unto what? holiness. So where does it have to begin? It has to begin with the attitude. It has to begin with the spirit. And he said, it's when you become consistent. It's when you become the biblical Christian that God says that we're to be. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm just going to say, okay, you're not going to be able to reach this being inconsistent in your Bible reading. You're not going to be able to reach this being inconsistent in your prayer life, inconsistent in your giving, inconsistent in your church attendance, inconsistent in your witnessing. I'm here to tell you, you will never, ever reach this position until you become consistent. Amen, preacher. It's just not going to happen, folks. I'm sorry. You say, well, Dad, I don't have any hope. Yes, you do. Change your stinking mind. Change your attitude. God saved you from hell, folks. What's up? God says, listen, can I get a little glory from anybody? Can I get a little appreciation from anybody? Holiness is being consistent. That means it's completely settled. That means no variance, no wavering. That means when I get a knock at my door, and there are Mormons there, not going to faze me. 2 hours later, Jehovah's Witnesses, not going to faze me. And listen, I could go on down the list. I could go through tons of denominations. No matter what they say, you're not changing me. Because I made up my mind, that's the book. That's the authority. That's my life. Holiness is being consistent. Come on, folks. We've got to get over this thing of inconsistency. It's not only killing the church, but it's killing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next, holiness is not only being consistent, holiness is being persistent. It's being persistent. It means it's continuing on course. Listen now, in spite of the opposition. If you're going to follow the journey from righteousness to holiness, there will be opposition. Now, how many of you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Okay, God bless you. That is a difficult read for me. Okay, it is. It's very long. It can be very drawn out. And if you don't stay hooked in, you can get lost. But can I say this to you? That Christian in Pilgrim's Progress was taking a journey. Let me ask you this. When you read that, did you find out that there were multiple obstacles in his journey? Oh, yeah. Listen, folks, this world is not your home. You are just passing through. And it's a story of a man passing through life. Listen, the ultimate goal is to give glory, but he found out that there were oppositions to reaching a place to glorify the Father. And may I say, there will be difficulties in your life as well. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Turn there. I'm going to give you some of these scriptures. I'm not going to spend long on them. Just want to make a comment or two about them and move on. Holiness is being consistent. Holiness is being persistent. That means continuing, staying on course in spite of the opposition. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting. Now, if you're new to the Bible, you can look that word perfecting just simply means maturing. It means growing. It says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now listen, child of God, if you're down here, the Spirit of God is calling you to this position. And he's saying, you can do this. It is obtainable. There are no special qualifications other than you must pass the test of righteousness. You must pass the test of godliness to occupy the position of holiness where you can bring the Father the ultimate and supreme glory. Now, sometimes the chastening of the Lord is involved because it'd be great if we could just get here and stay here and never have any problems, right? But you're going to find out that what comes with holiness is persecution. What comes with holiness and trying to stay here, the devil is going to try to knock you off of this position. He doesn't want you. Why? Because you're giving too much glory to God. Giving too much glory to the Father. So he's going to try to knock you off of that position. So sometimes, if we get off of that position, sometimes, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, the chastening of the Lord comes in our lives to move us back into that position. So I said holiness is consistent. Holiness is being persistent. And then let me say one last thing, that holiness is being resistant. Say, resistant to what? Well, first of all, resistant to temptation. Oh, yeah. You get over here, folks, listen, if we ever arrive in the position here of holiness to bring ultimate supreme glory to the Father, I promise you, you will be baited trying to get you out of that position. Satan will bait you with what is called temptation. And he will try to bait you and lure you away. You say, "Ah, he ain't going to lure me away." Well, somebody, what if your boss comes to you tomorrow and offers you a job in Timbuktu? He says, "We'll pay you four times what you're making right here." Now listen to me. Here's what most believers make their decision on. Did you think before that offer came to you, did you think, "Wait a minute now, I need to check, see if there's a good independent fundamental Baptist church there"? Amen, preacher. How many people make a decision based on whether there's a good church there or not? Amen. No, you know what they make their decision on? Money. You mean I can make $100,000? Yeah, you betcha. When can you leave? I'll leave tomorrow. Was your wife behind? No matter whether she's behind me or not, I'm going. Listen now, we never check out what the tax rate is. Amen. We never check out what the housing market is. We never check out anything except we see the bottom line. And the bottom line says $100,000. And what we do is we take and we chase that dollar bill and we get out there, and 6 months later we're thinking, "I can't live out here. I can't make it out here." And God said, "Yeah, I know, because what you do is you put the money in front of the church. You put the money in front of the spiritual things." You see, holiness is being resistant to temptation. Listen to me. It's being resistant to pride. Amen. What was the Pharisees' biggest problem? Pride. Listen. God did not call you to the position of holiness to become a Pharisee. He called you to a position of holiness to be a servant. That's what he called you. That's what the position is. Once you occupy that position, it's not a position of Phariseeism. So you say, "Well, preacher, how do I resist?" Well, according to James chapter 4, verse number 7, the scripture says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Wait a minute, stop. Time out. Commercial. What do we learn about holiness? Holiness does not demand perfection and sinlessness, but submission. So it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll think about fleeing from you." Resist the devil, and he'll flip a coin. You lose. No, it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Holiness is resistance. Hey, listen, folks. It's the place when you occupy it that come what may, you've already made your mind up, "I'm not going to be immoral. I'm not leaving the church. I'm not doing these things. I'm not going to do the things that are going to try to draw me away from the position of holiness." The church, let me wrap this up and say this. Holiness is witnessing and winning souls without being challenged to do so. Amen. Why is it that the preacher has to scream and yell for people to come out and go win people to Christ? Why is that? Have you ever wondered that? Preacher gets up there, veins poking out. "Well, I better go because the preacher said so." No, you shouldn't go because the preacher said so. You ought to go because you occupy the position of holiness. Holiness is being a witness. Holiness is winning souls without having to be challenged to do so. Next, holiness is giving without being presented with a need. Hey, folks, listen, let me give you an innovative idea. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and give something to somebody or toward a project, just do it. My youngest son was trying to figure out, of course, he's single. He works. He's a Bible college student. He's got bills and all these. He's learning things the hard way, and I love it because I'm going to let him. Every mom in here, a baby. Hey, it's okay, particularly with the guys. Okay? It's all right. You say, calls up, Dad, I hadn't eaten in 3 days. Well, God bless you. I'll pray for you. Hey, folks, it's okay. Hey, let me tell you something. If he can't learn to make it thin, what's he going to do when he gets a family? It's okay. He needs to learn some things. But he was getting ready. He called me and said, Dad, listen. He said, pray for me. I'm a little short on cash right now for gas to get down here so we could go to the funeral. He drove down on Tuesday morning. And that was, he called me on Sunday afternoon when we let him know that his granddaddy passed away. He told me when we were driving over, he said, Dad, the amazing thing was this. Sunday night, a man in our church just walked up to me and just shook my hand. I felt something in his hand. And he said, listen, just take that and do what as God told me to give you that. And he looked, it was $20. He thought, man, thank you, Lord. Put that in his pocket. He went to work the next day. One of the girls that he works with that doesn't even go to church, yet that I think she does go to church. Let me take the back. She does go to church, but doesn't go to his church. She wasn't even what we would consider our kind. You know what she did? On his break, she walked up to him and said, Micah, can I talk to you? He said, yeah. She said, can you step out here in the hall? So he stepped out in the hallway and she reached in her purse and pulled out and gave him $20. She said, in my devotion time this morning, God told me to give this to Micah Lassiter. There you go. So he's like, $40. He can almost fill his car up for $40. But he definitely had enough to get here. You see, what I'm saying is, holiness is giving without being presented with a need. Just do what the Holy Ghost of God tells you to do. You say, but I can't afford it. Yeah, but God can. God can afford it. And I promise you, if I just do what the Holy Ghost of God tells me to do, He's going to give back to me good measure, pressed down and shaken again and running over. That's how He's going to give back to me. Holiness is giving without being presented with a need. Listen, holiness is serving without a plea to do so. Hey, listen, folks, we've got needs all over our church and service. We've got a ton of needs of nursery work for nursery workers and children church workers and bus workers and workers all over. Why should the preacher have to scream and say, we need help? Why don't we just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? And I don't think He's telling you to sit and do nothing. I don't believe that. He's telling the people of God to serve. Service, holiness is serving without a plea to do so. Listen, holiness is assembling together without being asked. That's the reason we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Didn't say everybody, said some. You say, who's the some? That's the people that's never made it here. That's the people that show little to any significance about the church or about witnessing or about evangelizing. Chuck E. Cheese is more important to them tonight than assembling. Amen. Some of you think, man, you shouldn't say that, preacher. I'm hungry now. But assembling together without being asked. Listen, holiness is worship without having to be entertained to motivate you. That's what holiness is. Hey, listen, half the churches in America, the people come, they have to be hyped up for an hour before they can do anything. Amen. Yeah, they do. It's like you got to hype them up. Music, you got to get somebody up there that's just cranking it up in order to supposedly get them in the spirit of worship. Holiness is worship without having to be entertained to motivate. Listen, you ought to worship God because He's God. Hey, holiness is separation from the world by conviction. Listen, and without contention. We should be separate because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be peculiar. Holiness, listen now, holiness is loving people without having to be loved. Well, that's a dagger in most of our hearts, isn't it? Holiness is loving people whether they love you or not. You say, I can't do that. You'll never get to this position then. You'll never reach this. Let me tell you something. Jesus loved those who did not love him. Holiness is loving people without having to be loved. Holiness, listen now, is sacrifice without having to be told to do so. You just sacrifice. Go without. Hey, listen, if God tells you to give $100, you say, man, that's my grocery money. That's okay. Miss 2 or 3 meals for the cause of Christ. It'd be all right. I promise you, most of us aren't going to starve to death. Let me say this finally, and that is, holiness is a position designed for one purpose, and that is to bring glory to the Father. But it's a journey. It starts with righteousness, which is, help me out in our church, what's righteous? It's the attitude. It's the spirit that the book is the final authority. Then it brings us to a place to where we can work outwardly and outwardly manifest our inward decision and our inward attitude of righteousness. That's where the godliness comes out. And remember, Jesus taught in John 13 all the way through John 16 how we can glorify the Father. Remember the first thing that he taught them? He washed their feet. He said, you can bring glory. He said, now do as I have done unto you. So he taught them how to outwardly manifest their righteous or their attitude and spirit about the Word. That's the attitude. This is the outward manifestation of the attitude. And holiness that we've learned is the motive behind the attitude. What's our motive? What should be our motive tonight? It should be to glorify the Father. And if we glorify the Father, glory is honorable representation. You know what God's looking for from you and I? Honorable representation. But you're not going to reach that position unless we first make the decision of righteousness, unless we first decide, I'm going to live by the book, I don't care what it says, whatever it says, that's what I'm going to do outward at a time I'm going to manifest Christ, and then reach the position of holiness where there waits for you the supreme glory that the Father deserves. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you for your attention tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. Who can say tonight, preacher, I'm a Christian?